The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
What is up and welcome in to the Fantasy Focus DFS Podcast. I am Daniel Dopp. Sitting to my right is the one Mike Clay.
Hey,
hello, Mike.
That's me.
That's right. You.
I'm good. I'm feeling good. How you doing?
I'm all right. It's 20 degrees here. I just want to paint a picture really quickly. 20 degrees here in Bristol, Connecticut. Mike Clay is wearing a button-up sleeveless shirt with little palm trees on it.
And Mickey Mouse.
Because
if you heard, Disney Plus released yesterday.
I heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of it from a lot of our colleagues and my two daughters and... You've been watching it and enjoying it,
it's
and I love it.
It's incredible.
And no, I was not told to say this. I'm a consumer and a dad, and someone who grew up on Disney movies, I love it.
Heaven forbid you grew up on Disney movies and love Star Wars and superheroes,
because
they must be forcing you to say stuff that's awesome about it.
Anyway, anyway, Disney Plus, check it out. I'll be watching it once we get done, done with the day.
Nice.
Enjoy Thursday Night Football tonight.
It's a cool
job. And we actually don't, we don't do Thursday Night Football in this game, but there's certainly games you could play at DraftKings, and you can check out our rankings, listen to the other podcasts, and see our projections on the site, see what we like in those games as well.
So, heck yeah.
A lot of fun stuff to do.
Also joining us is the author of the Best Buys column every week, Al Zeidenfeld. Al, what's it like in LA right now?
It's a little chilly. It's about 68 degrees.
Okay, nobody cares. how dare you say that to us?
Mike's shirt would go well today.
Yeah, I'll bet it would.
It is freezing up here. It's crazy. It's warm in here. We're inside.
Yeah.
You said it's 20 degrees. We're indoors, Daniel.
Yeah, we are indoors when we do this. Yeah,
I don't need my coat on in here. But it's getting cold. I don't like it.
I don't either. We're going to do some stuff here today, give you some great value plays, which superstars we think is worth paying up for with the price. But first and foremost, join our weekly contest. Unlimited participants. Costs you $0 to enter. Zero. That's a big zero. Free.
Is
no
that
money.
Less or more than having to pay $1?
That is less than that.
It's less than $1. Okay.
Absolutely. You can win $200 in prizes. We had a winner last week that we're going to talk about towards the end of the show. So
Let's
stick around.
Did one of us win money in that?
One of us did win money in that.
Okay. We'll see who it was.
Yeah. We'll see who that was.
We'll see who it was.
And now, boy, we've talked for at least 3 minutes.
Yeah,
let's start talking some football.
That is the end of the pod.
Quarterback. Mike Clay, we're going to talk about some quarterbacks here. Number one on your great value plays, Matthew Stafford, $6,000, taking on the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming Matthew Stafford is healthy, a guy who's thrown 3+ touchdowns in each of the last three games, tell me why you like Stafford against a tough Dallas Cowboys defense.
Yes, and he's definitely questionable after missing last week.
So yes.
I still wanted to talk about him because if he goes, I think he's a great value. A lot of people probably won't be utilizing him because of the concern. So it's a chance to kind of take advantage here in, honestly, cash or in a tournament setting, because you can certainly stack him with guys like an underpriced TJ Hockenson or Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay. If you're bold, maybe Danny Amendola. A lot of options there. JD McKissick, honestly, who might start for them this week.
Yeah.
But Stafford has been good in fantasy this season. 5 top 7 fantasy weeks before injury, including 3 in a row. He hit the 300-yard bonus in all 3 of those games. He is top 3 among quarterbacks in yards per attempt, yards per completion, average depth of throw this season. Yeah, not top 10, top 3 in all of those categories, getting the ball down the field and playing efficient football. And what we really like here, Daniel, is, he has a tough matchup. Yes, the Cowboys have led the 5th fewest fantasy points to the quarterbacks, the 13th most attempts and 9th most completion. So more mid-pack in those categories, but pretty good matchup. But the problem is, or maybe I shouldn't say problem, I should say that the good thing is he's a value. Nonetheless, the 13th highest priced quarterback out of 22 options in the early slate. So I still find him at 6,000 to be a value play again, despite this matchup with Dallas.
Okay. Like that a lot. Another guy you really enjoyed, Deshaun Watson. $6,800 taking on the Baltimore Ravens in what is going to be, I think, I am hoping, the best game of the entire week. This watching Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson go back and forth, but obviously, if you think there's going to be points scored here, Deshaun Watson hopefully going to score some of them.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say the best game of the season. I was like, did you not watch Monday Night Football? Like that?
Oh, I did.
Yeah, not of the season. That's going to be hard to beat for sure. But I'm with you. This is a really exciting showdown between two MVP candidates in Watson and Lamar Jackson, as you mentioned. Watson has been terrific this season, near the top of the league in completion rate at 70%, yards per attempt, touchdown rate. He might have Will Fuller back, which would help, but even if he doesn't, he still has Kenny Stills and, of course, DeAndre Hopkins there, Duke Johnson out of the backfield, plenty of weapons to face this Ravens defense. At home earlier this season, they got crushed by Baker Mayfield and that Browns offense. So you like that for sure. Watson has 3+ touchdowns in 5 games this season. He has a high floor with his legs. Of course, 32+ rushing yards in 5 straight games. He's top 5 at quarterback in rushes, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns. He has 5 of those. And the Ravens, neutral matchup, mid-pack against quarterbacks and fantasy points allowed this season. Actually, the 12th most passing attempts and passing yards against. So even on the road in what might seem like a tough environment, I think Watson will be fine. And at 6,800, he's a fine play.
You know, since week 5, he has 47 rushing yards, 42 rushing yards, 32 rushing yards, 46 mm-hmm. rushing yards, 37. Like, that's almost that's a passing touchdown.
Yeah, and that's not even counting the 5 rushing touchdowns that he has, right. Two, which count for 6, not 4.
Exactly. Yeah. He may not run as much as Lamar Jackson. I mean, nobody does. No quarterback mm-hmm. in the NFL does. But that, I mean, if he gets to, 30-plus rushing yards, like, that's another passing touchdown. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no. And by the way, Jackson is a perfectly fine play as well. A lot of the higher priced quarterbacks are decent plays this week. It's just the way the slate worked out.
Al Zeidenfeld, you've got Kyle Allen here, $5,300 taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Definitely a value play here. What is it you like about Kyle Allen against the Falcons in this matchup?
I mean, one, it's a good matchup. The Falcons have allowed the 4th most DraftKings points to opposing quarterbacks this season. They've got a team total of 27.5. I like basically everybody on the Panthers this week, but it's flowing out of Kyle Allen. As you guys have mentioned, and you're going to hit on as well, Daniel, all the quarterbacks are basically priced between 6,000 and 7,000, with obviously Lamar sitting at 7,700. So everybody is going to have to pay up to get a quarterback that's viable, and all the quarterbacks priced under 6K, Kyle Allen's the one that really kind of stands out. I think he's going to be one of the highest owned quarterbacks on the slate. If we get 20 points of him out of him, that basically 4x's his salary, which is good enough for me to have to basically be able to pay up for the high volume running backs that we're going to want. And there's enough value at wide receiver to be able to do that. So in order to get there, I kind of have to roster Kyle Allen.
Okay. I like it. I like it. A couple other guys that we are thinking about this week. Ryan Finley, super cheap option if you want to go that route. And Matt Ryan. I feel like we talk about Matt Ryan every single week.
We do.
$6,200 taken on the Carolina Panthers. Totally get it. Austin Hooper is out, so that's going to be a little bit of a blow to this passing attack. But it is the pass-heaviest offense in the NFL. They have no Devontae Freeman. We'll see what happens, and we may talk about him a little bit later in Brian Hill. But, there's a really good chance that they are going to be throwing a whole bunch in this game, mm-hmm. as they do every game.
No question about it. Love it. Yeah, Moe's down for Matt Ryan.
Okay, moving on to running backs. And Josh Jacobs is the winner of the Who's Going to Play the Cincinnati Bengals this week.
yeah, 7th highest priced running back here in this one at $6,900. Still a good value play. You add to the match. I mean, he's still, I think, a little underpriced. And then you add the matchup in. So much to like here. Back-to-back top 7 fantasy weeks here for Jacobs. Top 12, 4 out of his past 5 outings. Top 9 at running back in carries, yards, touchdowns, carries inside the 5, yards after contact. I mean, he's been efficient. He's gotten volume. There's a lot to like. He looks like a legit player that the Raiders took in the first round pick this season. Also, adding some value with his hands this past game. 5 targets, 30 receiving yards. Against the Chargers, the target number was a career high. Actually, the receiving yards were a career high as well. And then let's talk about the numbers with this Bengals defense. 3rd most fantasy points allowed. 2 backs, 6 or worst in rushes against, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, yards per carry, carries inside the 5, yards per target, catch rate. They've had the 4th most scrimmage yards, the 3rd most touchdowns with 12. I don't know if I needed to say all those numbers, Daniel, but I'm really trying to drive it home.
Driving home.
They are bad. You know where I said Jacobs is like good in volume and efficiency? The Bengals are bad in volume and efficiency. it works out perfectly.
Okay.
It almost is like this is fantasy football, right? Like it's so good that it's going to be bad, right?
Yeah.
It's
too good of a matchup.
Too good, yeah.
Another guy that we're looking at, obviously, Brian Hill with Devontae Freeman mm-hmm. being out, $4,800 taking on the Carolina Panthers. A little bit of a wild card. Not totally sure what we have in Brian Hill, although last week he had a good amount of volume. I'm curious, Mike, want to know 2 things. One, what you think of him as a runner, just a guy as a running back to be able to get that amount of volume that we hope he's going to get. And 2, does he have any pass catching ability that we can count on?
Well, I think the best place to start would be what he did last week, right? That'd be a good way to see how he was utilized, right? Well, Devontae Freeman actually played 27 snaps, so he was in there for quite a while. When he went out, Brian Hill played 36 snaps. I mean, some of them were mixed in early on in the game, but he still ended up with 20 carries and a pair of targets in that game where the game script was heavily in favor of the Falcons, right? They could just run it. They did not need to throw the ball at all. So he racked up 20 carries. He only had 6 pass routes, so we didn't really see much of that. But the reason for optimism here is he ran 6 pass routes. That was the same number as Kenyon Barner, who we think will be kind of a passing down specialist. So I don't think Hill, the way he's going to be utilized, is to see a ton of targets, but he could see a handful, and we know he's going to get a bulk of the carries. Hill also has touchdowns in back-to-back games, and we have seen him before. He's not out of nowhere. He got some run late last season, had 20 carries for 157 yards, averaged almost 8 yards per carry, and this is a situation where we've seen some fantasy success. Devontae Freeman had produced 4 top 15 fantasy weeks in 5 games prior to Sunday when he was injured. And then, a lot like Jacobs, good matchup here. The Panthers' defense has allowed the 4th most fantasy points to running backs, the most on a per-snap basis. They've allowed 17 touchdowns to running backs this season. That is most in the league. They've allowed the 6th most rushing yards with a clean 1,000 yards and the 2nd highest yards per carry, a little over 5 yards. So they shut down. They're actually really good, the Panthers' defenses, against receiving for running backs. But Hill, again, is mostly going to do his damage as a runner in this game, and that's where the Panthers struggle. So I think it sets up for a good showing for him.
Heck yeah, like that a lot.
And he's 4,800. I don't know if I mentioned that.
Yeah, great value play. If you're trying to stuff another higher-priced player somewhere in your lineup, he could be a guy where it's still going to get a lot of volume but not going to cost you a ton.
Yeah, I think he'll be in a lot of lineups this week, but he's a pretty safe option as cash games go, again, so he could spend up elsewhere.
Yeah, Al, a couple of guys that you have here. Dalvin Cook, $8,900, taking on the Denver Broncos. Dalvin Cook has just been phenomenal. It's so great to see him healthy and running the way that we thought after a couple of years in the NFL where he didn't really do what we had thought he would based on injuries. But this year, he has been crushing it, and Al, you are loving him here in Week 11.
112 touches over the past 4 weeks is absolutely absurd.
Is that a lot?
It seems to be a lot. That's a high number.
Yeah.
And we also like to play home favored running backs, and they're favored by 10 points. And let me check my notes. Are playing at home here against the Denver Broncos. Kind of a neutral matchup. Denver, like, on the bottom side, like a little above average in terms of their rush defense, but I don't know if it's going to matter here. Dalvin Cook leads the league in carries inside the 5, so massive touchdown equity, 2nd highest red zone carries in the league. He should see 20 to 30 touches in this game, with maybe 4 to 6 of those coming through the air. Ridiculous floor, very high ceiling. We've seen him score over 30 points multiple times this year. This just looks like another spot that he could get there, get you 20 points, 15 to 20 points on volume alone, and then possibly one touchdown.
Okay. Al, I'm going to ask you about this. We do it every single week. $10,500. Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
Any pause?
No.
Just put him in your lineup.
Yes.
Find a way to make it work.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. So are you going to go Cook and McCaffrey? You talked up Cook, not McCaffrey.
Okay. I talked up Cook because you guys would yell at me if I talked up McCaffrey.
I love it when you talk about McCaffrey.
here's what I think the standard roster build is going to be in head-to-head lineups this week. I think that you're going to see at least 2 of the 3 high-priced running backs between Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel, who I also think is in a very good spot this week, and Christian McCaffrey. People are going to play 2 of those 3. Then it's going to come down to whether they want to pay all the way up at running back and go with Josh Jacobs, or they're going to go Brian Hill and leave themselves a little bit more money to pay at wide receiver. But there's so much value at wide receiver that you can actually be on what we like to call team jam them in and just jam in 3 really high dollar, really high volume, really high touchdown equity running back. So I think people are going to choose between 2 of those 3 high dollar ones, and then the 3rd one is going to be between Jacobs and Hill.
Interesting.
Another guy that I just want to quickly mention, and I'm hesitant here. I just want to say this. Alvin Kamara, $7,400, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a little bit disappointed with the way that Kamara has played this year. Doesn't have a 100-yard rushing game. Doesn't have a 100-yard receiving game. Getting a ton of looks and a ton of volume in the passing game. So that is always great. The Bucs have a really tough defense, but the implied total is really high for this game.
Yeah.
Should be a really high-scoring game. For Mike, I just want to ask you, understanding the amount of points that Vegas thinks is going to be scored in this game and knowing I want to say how much Alvin Kamara has under-delivered. Do you still feel comfortable with that $7,400 price tag for Alvin Kamara?
I do. He still comes in as a value. I mean, we just know how good this guy is. I mean, he has 14-plus fantasy points in all but two games, 12 in one of those other games. He's been still the lead back in this offense. He's done a lot as a pass catcher. We've seen the big target numbers week after week with 7-plus targets in five different games this season. Only the four carries last week, but the game script was horrendous with them being behind Atlanta, and we don't expect that to be common going forward. This guy, you know, they said, even when he came back from the injury, like, oh, maybe he'll be limited more. So he played 78% of the snaps in that game, and I'm not going to worry about this offense scoring points, right? They've done it when Drew Brees has been out there with the exception of last week. I think they'll get back on track, and maybe that's a bad bet, but I'm still buying in the Saints offense to score a lot of points, and Kamara is their clear feature back.
Oh, I mean, that is absolutely sure. That's for true.
Yeah. I've never heard you say that, but okay.
Two other guys, Duke Johnson and Tevin Coleman, if Matt Breida is out, I think could be some good value there. Looking ahead to wide receiver, Mike Clayton, you've got Mohamed Sanu, $5,100, taking on your Philadelphia Eagles secondary. Do you think that there's a spot for Mo Sanu to be able to take advantage of this secondary in Week 11?
No question about it, but I really like the value play. I don't think it matters who they're playing. $5,100, the guy is the 29th highest priced wide receiver on the main slate at DraftKings this week. It's just a major discount. It doesn't seem like enough of a correction from what we saw in his last game. He went toe-to-toe with Julian Edelman. He played all 65 snaps, the same as Edelman and Ben Watson in that game. He saw 14 targets. He caught 10 passes for 81 yards and a touchdown. He is another Julian Edelman in this offense, and I don't think it's going to change going forward. He has 19 targets now in two games with New England. He's eighth. Even if you include his Falcons games, he is eighth at wide receiver in pass routes this season. And then you mentioned the Eagles defense, eighth most fantasy points to receivers, second most on a per-snap basis. They've allowed 14 touchdowns. That's third most. They've allowed 23 end zone targets. That is most. And the 11th most receiving yards and a 14.8 yards per catch, which is fifth highest in the league. So, again, you could throw in the Eagles, and Sanu is in position to play a huge role for this high-scoring Patriots offense. That is one of the pass-heaviest offenses in the league this season. So, yeah, I definitely love him at this price point.
Another guy, other side of the coin, up here. Michael Thomas, $9,900 taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. No doubt with the volume with Thomas, but that's a hefty price tag, $9,900.
Yeah, I mean, the gap between, like, we've talked about the gap between Christian McCaffrey and the other running backs. Obviously, that's been closed quite a bit by Dalvin Cook, but Thomas over the next closest running receiver, I mean, especially with some of the top guys underwhelming a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, think about DeAndre Hopkins has been great, but not quite as dominant. Some guys obviously are on a bye or not in this main slate. I mean, the gap between Thomas and the rest is pretty large. And he gets the Buccaneers this week. He is, you know, the Saints just had, you know, their bye, what, a couple weeks ago. Thomas is still the number one fantasy receiver by 22 points. You know, he's just blowing away the competition. He has 16 or more fantasy points in nine games, 19 plus in seven games, 22 plus fantasy points in three straight. He is a top five fantasy wide receiver four of the past 5 weeks that he has played. He leads all wide receivers in every category that we could probably find relevant here. Targets, receptions, yards, catch rate at 83%, almost the same as last season. You know, when they played, these teams actually played already this season. In that week five meeting, 11 catches, 182 yards, two touchdowns on 13 targets. And that wasn't just a fluke. The Bucs cannot stop the pass. Most fantasy points to receivers this season. Third most to the perimeter and, oh yeah, to left perimeter receivers, which is where Thomas aligns most of the time, on most of his routes at least, or the highest percentage of his routes at 45%. They've allowed the most routes, the most targets, the most receiving yards, and the most receiving touchdowns, 15 to receivers this season. And one more for you, Daniel. One more stat.
Only
a lot
one.
Here.
You get one more.
Here are the point totals Thomas has put up, fantasy point totals, in seven career games against the Bucs.
Okay.
20, 32, 28, 11, 23, 8, and 28. Pretty good.
I mean, that 11 really stands out to me.
And the 8, too. That's yeah. A bad day. But yeah. Pretty good but against pretty good. His defense, and it's been a lot of the same players in that secondary. They actually, the Bucs are such a mess, they just clean on waived Vernon Hargraves this week. I mean, it's just a mess there, so got to love this setup for Thomas. He should be, even at $9,900, good value.
Yeah, if you go a little bit cheaper at running back, guy that you could definitely fit into your lineup there. Al, a guy that you're looking at here, Russell Gage, $3,300 against the Carolina Panthers, taking over that role that Mohamed Sanu vacated once he left for the New England Patriots. Do you think that Russell Gage can get you enough volume to be able to make worth putting in your fantasy lineup this week?
I mean, for me, he opens up a ton. We know that he's going to play a bunch of snaps. He's running low A-dot routes, which means these are easily convertible into catches. And there's been a lot of vacated targets. You mentioned he filled in for that Mo Sanu role. And then they're missing Hooper, who is the only player to get an end zone target on this team since week six, and also led the team in red zone looks. I think Julio is poised for a big week as well, but like Russell Gage is just too cheap with Freeman also missing. So that's three of the top five target guys on this offense are missing. Now, Julio can't soak up all of that target usage, so some of it has to go to Russell Gage, and it has over the past 2 weeks, as I previously mentioned. So the floor for him, if he catches four balls for 40 yards, we're fine. We're already at the point where he's possibly turning a profit. If he finds his way into the end zone, we're definitely living in value town. And it's a very easy way to build lineups to open you up for those high-priced wide receivers like Michael Thomas or those high-priced running backs that I spoke about earlier.
Okay. All right. Listen, I like where your head is at, Al. You're trying to jam some guys in there. You got to find some value some places, and seems like a value guy that could have a good amount of volume.
Yeah, so if you can find value for volume, that's your best bet.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can go Sanu and then like his replacement, Engage, in your lineup. Ooh. You can save a lot of coin that
could
way.
Save so, a ton of coin.
I'm with you too. I also have Gage listed as one of the best values at receiver this week, so definitely agree with Al on that one.
Well, there are a couple of guys here that we have: Auden Tate, DJ Moore. I mean, is DJ Moore ever not a good value in DFS?
It's maybe someday at some point his price will go up, but I don't know. I mean, he's another good matchup here. He's a plus wide receiver cornerback matchup play this week, and he's been red hot. He's been super consistent, high floor, relatively quiet breakout season for the number one receiver drafted last year. But still, good year for DJs, Chark and Moore in their second year.
Yeah.
DraftKings has been so aggressive at pricing up so many different players, but they are just not aggressive at pricing up any of the Panthers. DJ Moore and Samuel have been good value plays for like a month.
Yeah, it can be frustrating because, you know, it's just kind of an aside here. DraftKings, you know, they are aggressive with adjusting and for matchup too, right? If a player has like for example, Drew Brees had a bad week last week and his price went up because they're playing Tampa Bay, and that makes it kind of harder to find values when we're doing this process. That's why sometimes we'll talk about a good value despite a tough, seemingly tough matchup.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas priced up over 20% or 20%-ish in this last week because of the easy matchup against Tampa Bay. Alvin Kamara, because of the tough matchup against running backs, theoretically, for Tampa Bay, priced down this week.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I like it. Another guy I kind of think we should consider, Randall Cobb, $4,300.
Yep.
Taking on the Detroit Lions. Nearly 90% of Cobb's routes are coming from the slot, and so his chance to be able to exploit that Lions defense that is allowing a score on 6.3% of slot targets, which is 10th highest in the NFL. I mean, it's certainly an option. The Lions have been, their defense has not been what we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the season. The roles have really reversed. The offense is better than we thought. The defense has not been as good as we thought. So again, looking for a little bit of a place to be able to save a little bit of money. Randall Cobb at $4,300 might not be a bad guy to throw into your lineup.
Yep. Coming off a great game, one of his best games, the Cowboys too last week.
Yep.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Like that. Tight end, Mike Clay. You've got Zach Ertz. A little bit of Eagles pride here. $5,000 taken on the New England Patriots. Obviously a tough matchup. But if I said to you $5,000, mm-hmm. Zach Ertz in week 11, you would be like, what happened?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Exactly. And this is kind of what we just talked about, right? This is a tough matchup. The Patriots defense has been tremendous. Third fewest fantasy points allowed to tight ends this season. The fewest pass routes and targets to that position. The second fewest receptions and receiving yards. However, they haven't faced much volume. Like I said, the fewest routes faced, you're going to see a lot of tight end volume against the Eagles. I mean, you have Dallas Goedert out there, and certainly you have every down Zach Ertz. The Patriots have actually allowed the highest catch rate to tight ends at 74% and the ninth highest yards per target at 8.2. So maybe this is kind of a sneakier play than it looks. And like you said, he's 5,000. You know, he's super cheap. Even if you consider it a tough matchup, he's very cheap here. It's baked into the price the matchup is. As mentioned, the last time we saw Zach Ertz, he was the number one scoring tight end with 23 points back in week 9. And again, even after the Eagles bye, top five tight end in routes, targets, receptions, yards, you know he's going to be out there.
Serious, as my friend Mike Clay says, you like that.
You like that. I do say that a lot.
You do say that
Kirk,
a lot.
Kirk taught me that.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
Another guy that we like this week, though, Jared Cook, $4,400, taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In each of his three last games, he has had at least 12 fantasy points. So he's getting some volume. Drew Brees coming back. What else do you like about Jared Cook in this matchup against the Bucks, Mike?
Well, looking at my notes here, I have that in his last three straight games, he has 12-plus fantasy points. Did you know that stat?
I did know that.
That's my first note here. How about that?
Was it really?
Yeah, after a slow start.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I have plenty of stats. You know me.
I know you.
I have an arsenal ready to go here. Yeah. look, very disappointing out of the gate. It was a slow start for Cook, but has the 12-plus points in three straight games. Also, has been a top eight fantasy tight end in three straight games. Had 10 targets, 6 catches, and 74 yards against the Falcons last week. Put together a pretty good game. Was heavily involved with Drew Brees back under center. And we like the matchup. Buccaneers defense, second most fantasy points allowed to tight ends. Also the most on a per snap basis. They are third or worse in terms of targets allowed to tight ends, receptions, receiving yards, receiving touchdowns. And Jared Cook will only cost you $4,400. He is actually the fifth highest priced tight end in this slate, but he is still pretty cheap. So not going to cost you much to fire him up this week.
No. Like that quite a bit. Another guy at tight end, if you're looking to save a little bit of money, Al Smizzle. Eric Ebron, $3,600, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. What is it you like about Ebron in this matchup?
They're actually utilizing him a lot more now. I mean, the last year and a half, anytime, it was very basic, right? Anytime that Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron were both active, you played Doyle and not Ebron. Ebron was extremely touchdown dependent, was not getting the volume, played way less snaps than Jack Doyle. But now we have a different situation in Indianapolis with T.Y. Hilton missing the last few weeks and looking doubtful for this weekend, at least based on the early practice reports and what the beat writers are reporting to us right now. We have a situation where both are going to be viable. And if we look at the snap reports from last week and the routes run, Eric Ebron ran 32 routes on 41 dropbacks. That's a 78% routes per quarterback dropback. But Jack Doyle was mostly in there to block, running routes on less than half of the dropbacks from the quarterbacks on the Indianapolis Colts. So if Ebron's going to be out there and being targeted as much as he is right now, because they need him in order to move the chains, they don't really have that many great options in the passing game with T.Y. Hilton out, all respect due to Pascal and all the other guys that are playing wide receiver. Eric Ebron's just more talented than them. So if he's going to be running that many routes and he's going to be out there targeted as much as he is, and we have a pretty good matchup with Jacksonville, who's allowed a touchdown on 10.2% of tight end targets this year, third highest in the league behind Arizona and Cleveland, we Wow. have a solid volume situation. He's priced not for his new role in this offense. That hasn't changed yet. And we have touchdown upside as well. I really like the Ebron play this week.
Okay. A couple other guys we have here. Tyler Eifert and Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen, $3,900, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. I like Greg Olsen a lot, actually, this week. Season high 10 targets last week for him. Really love the volume against a Falcons team that is allowing the second most red zone drives per game at almost 4. So you're not looking for a whole lot. 3 catches and a score, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking good. Probably is going to pay off for you around there. So, all right. We have run through quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. We've now gotten to the point of the show where we're going to talk about our week 10 recap. Mike Clay, we had a winner last week. Chase Giroux. 238.22 fantasy points, took home the money in our free DFS league on DraftKings.
Yeah, he did.
Congratulations to Chase. Congratulations. That's a good number. 238 is a good number.
Yes, it is. Yeah, well done, Chase.
I also didn't do terrible.
No.
I had 203 points, which was enough for 22nd.
That is our highest week of the season. Congratulations.
That is our highest week of the season.
Well done. Yeah, you had Lamar in there. Yeah, you put together. Yeah,
I didn't have Lamar. I took Lamar out. I changed it.
What?
I ran Patrick Mahomes with a Tyreek Hill.
You can't change it.
I changed it. I did this on the podcast.
Oh.
I did it right.
Oh, okay.
I ran Patrick Mahomes with Tyreek Hill as a stack.
I remember he had Hill in there. That was a good play.
And then I played Michael Thomas and Christian Kirk.
Yep.
Ronald Jones.
He was one of our value plays. Unfortunately, I did not put him in that lineup. I had him in another one.
You know who
was...
screwed me? I never should have played him in the first place. Freaking David Montgomery. I knew David Montgomery was going to suck, and I did it anyway.
I did not. I used him, and that did not go well.
I also used him.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's all right. Process matters.
Yeah.
You know? You're not going to get them all.
Exactly. So last week was a good week for us. Both of us were in the money, which was fantastic. Mike, for your week 11 lineup. It's gotten so competitive to the point, not everyone knows this, we've stopped putting our lineups in the Google Doc so that neither one of us can see what each other is going to do. So, yeah. Mike Clay, please give us your week 11 DFS lineup.
I will. And remember, I've been using the optimal lineups, right? So correct. I mentioned this last week, put it in Solver, it's the optimal lineup. We're going to change this next year. We're going to compete against the optimal lineup next season. We'll each do our lineup. So we'll keep this going for now. I gotta be honest. This is one that I'm not super comfortable with. It makes me a little nervous. But we'll see. Usually those are the ones that pay off, right? Cause you're not digging deep for the shiny, exciting players. You're just putting a solid lineup together. And that's what we're going for in 50-50. So now I say that, of course, my quarterback is Lamar Jackson. Okay. I think he is shiny, but can't go wrong with Jackson. He's been money. It gets you a lot with his legs, of course. Running backs. Going Josh Jacobs, who we talked about, Brian Hill, who I like for sure. I'm going to go with both of those guys. And then Duke Johnson, believe it or not, is my flex. He's only going to cost you $4,000. Again, another guy with a pretty high floor, which is what we're looking for in a cash game. And then at wide receiver, I'm going to spend up on Michael Thomas. I'm going to take those 27 points I have him projected for. I'm going to go Mohamed Sanu. Can't get past that value. Randall Cobb, we talked about his terrific matchup. Greg Olsen, super cheap at the tight end position. And then I have a few extra bucks. At the defensive side, I'm going to go with Minnesota. I like them as a play this week. So spending a little bit on defense. There it is. That's what I got.
Okay. All
right. What do you got?
This week, my DFS lineup is as follows. Currently, I'm rolling with Kyle Allen as my quarterback. $5,300. We're talking about him a little bit earlier. Al sort of stole my thunder. No big deal, Al. I still love you. taking Ezekiel Elliott and Christian McCaffrey at running back.
Love that.
Hanging up
love that.
Big. In order to be able to play both of those guys, Mike, you stole my thunder, no big deal. I am playing Mohamed Sanu. I thought about playing Justin Gage, decided not to go that route, but
nope,
I thought about it.
It's Justin Hardy. Russell Gage.
He wanted to play both of them. He gets stats for both players.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, then you're getting whatever Gage gets because Hardy's not playing.
So wide receivers are Mohamed Sanu, DJ Moore, Randall Cobb.
All right, I like that. Yep.
And then Eric Ebron is my tight end with Brian Hill being my flex play, and I'm going cheap with the Arizona Cardinals, the cheapest defense on the slate, in order for me to jam in the rest of those guys. That's really all that I could do. So I'm hoping that they just don't get blown out and give me negative points.
I like that. So you went, I went Jacobs and, like I have Michael Thomas. You're going McCaffrey and you're going cheaper quarterback. So like my star players are Jackson and Thomas and Jacobs. You have more of the two running backs.
Yeah,
you're
the two
building around the two.
Yeah, the two running backs, and then what I feel like should be a good game. I've got three Carolina Panthers in there. A little bit nervous to have quarterback, running back, wide receiver, but the value of both DJ Moore and Kylan Allen. Yeah, I'm good with it.
Remember, we had this discussion the other week when I was getting torn to shreds for using McCaffrey, Moore, and Samuel without Kyle Allen in cash.
Oh, and what happened those weeks?
We crushed it.
Oh, that's right.
That's what we did.
Okay.
It's fine. I mean, in a tournament, I set a tournament lineup and I used Allen too. You know, it just depends what kind of format you're in. We're just trying to maximize points and be in the top 50%, which we've done almost every week. I think there might have been one week where we weren't in the 50th percentile.
Yeah.
So
which is what we're shooting for here.
Yeah, exactly. That's
double
what you gotta
ups,
do. Pay
50
off.
50s. Al Zeidenfeld, you are 6-2 on the season. Unfortunately, taking an L last week. No big deal. No big deal. But if you ever doubt me again, I just want you to know that I will officially rescind our friendship.
Well, you have McCaffrey, so I know which way he's going.
Okay. It's just like, it's like a cheat code for like which side is Al going to pick.
Yeah.
Whose lineup do you like the most in week 11, Al?
I like both lineups. I think both lineups are very quality. It's like picking between my two sons, but I think that Daniel has the better lineup this week, and he's going to outscore Mike's optimal lineup. Mike, what would you do? Because this is the optimal lineup. This is the solver lineup. Would you do anything differently if you were to build that lineup yourself? Like, would you have Duke Johnson in there? Would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I don't. Duke is one guy that makes me a little uncomfortable. I'm okay with it in cash because you know he's getting that passing down run. He's actually scored some touchdowns too. But you know what? I actually just re-ran it while we were talking because there was some news since then. We know Emmanuel Sanders is not going to play. And Debo Samuel actually popped up as a value play. Gage is in there. Irv Smith, who has actually out-targeted Kyle Rudolph the past 3 weeks with Adam Thielen out. He's a value play at tight end. It actually has McCaffrey, Jacobs, and Hill at running back, which is something I would really like to do. Maybe go Stafford at quarterback or Allen, go McCaffrey, Jacobs, and Hill. And then this lineup has McCaffrey and Thomas in it.
Wow.
So, which is interesting. If you could pull that off with some of these value plays, maybe if Sanders is out, then Samuel could fit in there as well. So
yeah,
I think there's a, I think you can get a little bit creative this week and maybe do what you're saying, Al, and spend up on two stars, whether it's two running backs or like a guy like Thomas and McCaffrey, because it's such a, I don't know what you think, Al, but I thought it was kind of a disappointing week. There's a lot of star players not in the main slate, and it's just, it's hard to get exciting about, get excited about some of the lineups.
I mean, people are going to make mistakes because people make mistakes, and I make them too from time to time. It's daily fantasy, but like, it's very much a starsy scrubsy week, and we have a lot of cheap plays. Debo Samuel was somebody that I had listed as a value play at wide receiver. He got a ton of volume last Monday night with Kittle missing, and he's expected to miss this week. And then if Sanders is out too, a lot of vacated targets, big path to him. So like, Debo Samuel, Gage, Hill, all great value plays, allowing you volume at a value price to be able to pay up for the superstars who you know are going to get 20. I'm always trying to get 70 touches out of my three running backs. I think that's a very easy path to that this week.
Yeah, and I also, I mean, on Sundays, I'll put, of course, I play this lineup every week just for the show, but I create my own lineups too using most of these players.
Yeah.
But news changes. There's different values. Yep. Just keeping it. Like, for example, in 1 week we were talking about like a Kamara, and then he was out, and Latavius slid in there, and we've done that time and time again.
Jalen Samuels week when he was 4K, but there was no way for us to know that.
Connor
was going to be out on Thursday when we record this podcast, and he was obviously the highest owned play of the week and the perfect play. He was a plug-in play. He was a lock button play.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily just play these lineups straightforward. Just keep in mind the value plays, and again, they're almost all of these guys will end up in our lineups, our various lineups. But you know, you have to keep an eye on the news and look for the values as well. So yeah.
And definitely keep that in mind just as we state this. We started off the podcast talking about Matthew Stafford being a great value. He is questionable for sure. So if he does not play, make sure that you are checking your lineups to go a different route. I actually don't think it's a terrible decision to maybe build a second lineup so that you're not scrambling last minute if you get caught doing, you know, parenting duty or out for lunch or whatever. And so you don't have to like worry about it. I always think I set a backup lineup if I know that I have a guy that is going to maybe be out to be like, yeah, I think I'll feel comfortable with this.
Yeah. And as long as you have a list of names in front of you, maybe that's the best way to do it. Just jot the names down and then you'll just have guys to look for.
Put it in your notes app on your iPhone.
There you go.
And if you don't have an iPhone, go out and buy one. Cause when you have a group text and I can't rename it something cause you're using an Android. Oh, it grinds my gears. Oh,
wow. Okay.
Grinds my gears. All right.
Anyways, was random. Anyway.
Guys, thank you so much. It's been a ton of fun. We've been doing this all season long. If you've been listening, thank you so, so much for hanging out with us while we do this. Again, 1 week contest every single week, $200, no money to enter. Please join it. We have a ton of fun at Mike Clay NFL. He will tweet out his lineup as well as a link to the contest at Daniel Dopp on Twitter. I will do the same at Al Zeidenfeld. Follow him for all of the great DFS content. He does so much more than just DFS. DFS here with us at ESPN too. So check out his feed and everything he does with the Best Buys column. And we are going to be out for the rest of the week. I guess we'll see you guys next Thursday probably.
Okay. Like,
we have every other Thursday.
Yeah, that would add up.
Yeah.
I'll see you then.
All right, sounds good. All right, bye, Al.
Bye.
Bye.